Hey everybody, so glad that you guys are joining us for another service this Sunday. And I love the fact that we're in this new series that's talking about our spiritual disciplines. And I'm not even going to hold you today. There are some workout plans that are basic or introductory. There are other ones that are intermediate and others of them are advanced. And this is the advanced section. This is that workout that only the brave go into. And so I'm blessed, like I just said, about this new series where we're learning these spiritual disciplines while we are at home. How many of you guys had workout goals and plans that literally got halted and grounded because of the Rona pandemic? Some of you guys are wondering, am I ever gonna graduate? Like, will I ever walk across that stage and take those cheesy pictures? Because you know what? I deserve it. I like slaved over all of these hundreds of pages that I read and all of these exams and all of these quizzes and all of these tests. Will I ever be able to walk across that stage and take those cheesy pictures? Some of us are caught with cabin fever while all of our gym gains go down the drain. And others of us, we're looking forward to having that hot girl summer. We're looking forward to leveling up in our gym gains. And we are caught in limbo right now because of the Rona pandemic. Looking at Catholic theology, like maybe this place does exist. In this season of adjustment, the question becomes, like, do I become Chunky Monkey because all I do is watch YouTube and eat cake all day? Or do I get one of those home workout apps and make the adjustment? And while I have just transitioned and I'm now working out from home, I know that many of you guys are saying, hey, you know what? There are battles that I'm facing in this new reality that I didn't have to face. And yes, while I rebuke the spirit of Chunky Monkey, I know that the battles that we are having right now are different than the battles that we were having when we were commuting every week to work. I just want to come to a full stop right now. For everybody that's listening to me, for everyone that's caught in this new season, the season that can be described probably best as limbo, where we don't know, like, are we ever going to go back to normal? Or is this going to be the new normal? Are we going to always be in this place of kind of like taking steps back and wondering, like, if our family is going to be okay? The Bible describes God as the God of the mountain and the God of the valley. And whether you are on the mountain of normalcy or the valley of quarantine, God is God right where you are. And God is God anywhere in the transition. So if any of you guys are feeling discouraged right now because of this new normal that you're in, I want you to know that God is God right where you are. But the same way I needed an adjustment in my workout plan and goals is the same way I needed an adjustment in my spiritual plan. So if you sign up right now for $10.99, you can get my spiritual workout plan by clicking on the screen right here. Nah, this one's on us. And I cannot be more hyped about our new series. The title of my message today is Battle Ready. And today we are going to be speaking about the Word of God. And I'm reading from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 10th verse, and it reads, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." And I'm jumping down to verse 17. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Let us pray. So Holy Spirit, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, that there is more to life than meets the eye. I want to thank you that even already, Lord, you have spoken to us that you are the God of the mountain and you are the God of the valley. And so, Holy Spirit, for anyone that needs to become battle ready, I pray that you would use this word to arm them, to let them know that they're not just caught on a defensive, but that they have been armed with weapons for their good. Lord Jesus, we give you even this service, and we pray that you would be glorified. And I pray what I always pray, that God, you would hide me behind your cross. And Lord, we love you in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen. What I love about this passage is that this passage unveils reality. It shows us that there is more to life than meets the eye. Everything that we are facing in this physical world has a spiritual reality. Even realities like COVID-19 have spiritual underpinnings. The world was designed by God, teeming with life with no death. However, when humanity decided to walk away from God, sin and death entered the world as a consequence of our departure from God. Pandemics like COVID-19 and all of its destructive power are in this world due to the sin and death that came into the world as a result of humanity's choice to go their own way and walk away from God. But how many of you guys are so glad that God does not let us get caught off guard? Instead, he lets us know what is real. He equips us with the power to scale back the forces of darkness and even overcome the power of death itself. At the end of our passage, we encounter a weapon which has been placed in our offensive arsenal in order to make us battle ready, the Word of God. And how many of you guys know that a war does not get won without an offense? The same way that we can't win over the destructive power of COVID-19 without a vaccine or without our God-given immune system, which within it has its own offensive arsenal of antibodies and white blood cells. This is the same way that we cannot win spiritually without a good offensive. But actually, you know what? Let me set the record straight. This actually isn't completely true for the Christian person, because our defender has already won the war. And the victory of the cross is total. And we are covered and shielded by the victory that Jesus won on the cross. However, the scriptures reveal us not just as victors, not just as conquerors, but as more than conquerors through him who loved us. So it's not fair, but on top of this decisive victory of the cross, God has given us an offensive weapon, which is the Word of God, to complete our destinies as more than conquerors in this world. What does that mean? This means that if I die of COVID-19, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me, because COVID-19 may kill my body and claim my body, but my soul will live in eternity with him who loved me. What does this mean? It means that if I lose my job today, it does not matter, because my destiny has been secured with Jesus. What does it mean? It means that if COVID-19 claims my relationship status, yes, we rebuke the spirit of Chunky Monkey and we rebuke the spirit of Hot Girl Summer 2. But even though COVID-19 may claim my relationship status, God's plan for my life has been made sure in Jesus. Nah, homies, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved us. Now, if I may get into my bag for a minute, your boy was a professor of theology for a few years here in the city. And the only reason that I'm bringing that up is because this conversation we're about to walk into warrants that. We must frame the Word of God appropriately if we're going to benefit from it. The scriptures reveal the eternal Word, which has no beginning, has no end. The eternal Logos, who is the architect of all things seen and unseen. The one who is described in John, the first chapter, as the one who was in the beginning, through whom all things were created, and who is known as God. It is this Word, this Logos, who became flesh and gave the world its most decisive victory on the cross. And it is because of this Word who the scriptures call the Logos, the one that we know as Jesus Christ, that death no longer has the final say in existence. This Word is ineffable, ultimately indescribable, due to his sheer infinity. It is this eternal word that is part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But secondly, we have the scriptures, which in our passage today is described as the sword of the Spirit, a word which has been written for our benefit and our revelation, whose writings has been inspired by God and written by human beings, guided by the Holy Spirit, and compiled over the course of 2 millennia. Although the scriptures contain the words inspired by the eternal logos, the eternal word and the scriptures are distinct. That is why we don't describe the Godhead as Father, Holy Bible, and Holy Spirit, but as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now that we have the Bible in full frame, let us take a closer look at what the Bible says about itself. And while we're doing this, I want to pose a question. How can this holy word, the scriptures, enable us to win? Which leads me to my first point. The holy scriptures enable us to win because it reveals the nature of God, something that theologians call special revelation. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, it reads, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The scriptures reveal the nature of God and God's relationship to humanity. Through the scriptures, we see how God engages humanity through a covenantal relationship. For this reason, much of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is comprised of recounted stories of the way that God walked with humanity. This is where the scriptures take the most heat, actually, because the scriptures were compiled over 2 millennia in the ancient Near East. A lot of people take the ancient Near Eastern aspects of the scriptures to disqualify it. They read it and say, "I don't see women's suffrage here. I don't see much freedom like we have in the 21st century. I still see slavery. The Bible seems archaic, old, and out of touch." And the answer to all of these objections is yes. But instead of disqualifying it because of its ancient nature, I want to encourage all of you to look a little deeper and compare it with other ancient Near Eastern texts of the time. And it is when you do this that you see how dignifying, how liberating, and how life-giving the scriptures are. And this encourages us to be liberating, to be dignifying, and to be life-giving in our time. For example, when other ancient Near Eastern texts would not recommend a day of rest, the Bible dignifies humanity by commanding the Sabbath a day of rest. Or when other ancient Near Eastern texts would treat slaves as less than human, Paul in 1 Corinthians encourages anyone who can be free, who is a slave, gain your freedom, do so. Or when other ancient Near Eastern texts wouldn't mention women in leading roles, the Bible presents Deborah as a judge and Miriam as a prophetess and Mary as one of the first eyewitnesses to the empty tomb, who then goes and teaches the disciples that Jesus has been resurrected from the grave. A woman that has gone to teach the heads of all of the apostles one of the greatest truths, if not the greatest truth ever told, that Jesus is no longer dead, but has been risen from the grave. And I want to encourage you to take all of these objections and dig deeper, examine closer. I promise you what you will find is redemption, dignity, and salvation all over the scriptures. And I invite you to witness the way that God graciously dealt with an ancient Near Eastern culture and see the way that God walked with broken people and brought them grace, brought them correction, and brought them salvation. And my prayer is that as you see the way that God walked with them, you will be able to see the way that God walks along you also. See the way that God walked with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and know that God wants to walk with you the same way. See the way that God walked with Deborah, Ruth, and Esther, and know that God wants to walk alongside you the same way. But secondly, to this point, we encounter the fullness
of the story of Jesus through the scriptures. It is through the scriptures only that we are able to witness the beauty of God's pursuit of broken humanity. Because none of us deserve it. If it was up to us, all of us would be disqualified. How many things you walk around with saying like, I'm ashamed that I did this. I'm ashamed that I made this decision. We know how broken we are. But through the scripture, we are able to see God's pursuit of our broken humanity. The way that God became man in the form of Jesus Christ just to save us from the consequences of our sins. How Jesus took upon himself our judgments that we could live free. In no other spiritual book can you read about the way that God became man just to find you, just to save you, just to be with you forever. Not in the Quran, not in the Gita, not in the Tanakh, but in the Holy Bible, in the Christian scriptures, in the Word of God. Which brings me to my second point. The Holy Scriptures enable us to win because the scriptures are our offensive weapon. The Bible states in Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. In the days of Rome, there were two swords that were largely used by the Romans. One that is similar to the typical swords that we see of knights in the medieval era. They were 6 to 8 feet long. However, this sword was used for cleanup work after a battle because it was completely impractical for battle due to its weight. This is because at this time, soldiers did not have that full body metallic armor like they did in the medieval times. So a shield was required for a battle. A sword of this weight at this time would have been a liability because it would have required both arms to wield and a lot of strength to move it around, leaving you vulnerable to attack. There was another sword, however, that the Romans usually had strapped to them. It was about 2 feet long. It was light enough to use in combination with the shield. The Romans would use the Roman short sword to thrust through their enemies instead of slashing them because the thrusts were actually more fatal due to the higher chance of piercing vital organs. The sword was double-edged for maximum effectiveness. This is the sword that is used as an analogy for the Word of God. A sword that is so sharp that it can penetrate your heart and soul. It is so sharp and effective that it makes us ready for anything that can come our way externally or internally. One that Jesus used to fight against the forces of darkness, and I'm talking about the Holy Scriptures. When in the wilderness, Jesus rebukes Satan through the word and corrects his theology and puts him to flight. And while the word is given to us as a deadly weapon, capable of destroying the forces of darkness, it is also capable of killing those things in our hearts that want to take us out. The word is powerful because it destroys the forces of darkness in the spiritual realms and destroys the forces of darkness in our own hearts. You know, this is the reason why, you know, whenever we go to church and Pastor Kenny has us rolling and we're there just having a good time and laughing, there are moments while we are rolling that all of a sudden it feels like Pastor Kenny is cutting us. And it is because he is preaching from the scriptures and God is breaking chains off of you that once kept you bound. You come to church having a good time talking about like, yo, this church is lit. But you leave feeling like you need to be rolled out in a stretcher. But that pain that you feel in service, that pain that makes you be like, oh, like, I know I'm not, but this is painful. That pain is good for you. It's the kind of pain that heals you. Like a surgeon's knife or a mother's alcohol-filled swab as she presses it on a cut. This pain is a pain that heals. This incision is an incision that brings health. Not only that,
But the word of God is so powerful because the Bible states that it is even able to show you the intent of your heart. Do you know how many years of therapy we go to? I'm trying to figure out why we do the things that we do. Even the Bible earlier states, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. But how many of you are excited that just by engaging this book, you could be set free from things that have kept you bound your whole life? Oh, come on, church. This word is alive and active. This word is able to have you receive just one portion of it and set you free from 20 years of slavery and bondage. And reading this book causes you to understand things about yourself that you couldn't figure out otherwise. For the word of God, Hebrews states, is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And this brings me to my last point. The Holy Scriptures enable us to win because it directs our steps. Psalm, the 119th chapter, the 105th verse reads, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Bible lights our path and our decisions. This is because the clearer you have God in focus is the clearer you have your life in focus. Some of us don't know what our life is about. That is because we don't know what God is about. We don't know enough about His love for us, about His destiny for us. And He has revealed Himself through the Scriptures. But not only that, but the Bible invites us not just to read it to gain good principles, but like a map, it invites us to join and become participants in its story. Don't just read the stories of Moses, David, and Elijah and say, "Wow, I learned a lot of good principles for my life." No, read the stories of Moses, David, and Elijah and say, "I'm not going to rest until my life resembles theirs." Don't be satisfied until you have been baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't be satisfied until miracles happen in your life. Don't be satisfied until mountains get out of your way. Don't be satisfied until you claim people who are walking dead back to life again. Don't be satisfied until you see the very power that was with our patriarchs and our matriarchs come upon you. For the Bible teaches us that through this power, our patriarchs and matriarchs turn the world upside down. Don't be satisfied. But the Bible also teaches us that the same God that had that power come upon His servants in the days of old has given us that same power today. People ask me all the time about my life's goals. Is it to be a good preacher? Is it to be a great professor? Is it to lead a great non-for-profit organization? And my response to them is not. It's not any of those things. Those goals are too small. My one goal in life is that the power of God would be resident upon me. That this same power that I see God display through all of these people in the Bible would be resident in me. And I won't be happy until that power comes and overtakes my life. The question that the Bible asks us is, will you join in? Will you read the stories of the way that God walked along people and turn the world upside down and join in? Or will you put it on pause and have the Bible parked out somewhere collecting dust, saying, "The next time I need a good principle, I'll open it up"? My question to you today is, will you join me? Because I'm not going to stop. It was a revelation that came to me that the Bible isn't just a collection of good stories with good principles, but it is actually a map to the one who can transform my world and turn it on its head, and turn my world upside down and give me power to overcome every challenge, every disease, every circumstance, and do this while bringing glory to God, that I can gain my destiny, that I can gain my life by losing it, that I can walk not like what society tells me I should walk, but I can walk like people that almost don't even belong in the world, people that move to a different rhythm, people that have power resident in them to overcome all of this evil. This is what the Bible invites us to do. And the question is, will you join in? Many of you guys right now, you guys are in Bible study, so shout out to all the Bible study leaders. And many of you guys are out there learning and growing and taking a deeper look into some of the characters of the Bible. I want to challenge you to dig deeper. For others of you who are not in Bible studies, I want to challenge you today to choose a character in the Bible. Someone that intrigues you, someone like David, maybe someone like Esther, maybe someone like Deborah. And follow their story throughout the Bible and see the way that God walks alongside them. Yeah, it may be difficult sometimes. Yeah, sometimes you may not understand some of the ancient Near Eastern cultural things. But I want you to glean from that how God walked with a man or a woman, and how God stood faithful to that man and that woman. And my prayer is that as you do that, you will be able to see yourself. And so you can even Google like David in the Bible and see what chapter and verse his story begins. I want to challenge you to do so. And there are great tools out there. I just signed up the other week. Bible Gateway has all of these dictionaries and commentaries and things like that that will help you. And so if you guys are looking for just a resource that is affordable, that can help you answer some of your questions, I will go ahead and sign up for that Bible Gateway package, which is just $4.99. They should be paying me, actually. And then finally, I want to let you guys know that if you guys have any questions, your Bible study leaders and even us here at the gathering, we're here to help you. But what I want to, at the very end, encourage you the most is don't read the Bible for a principle here or there. There is too much that God has given us. But read it as a weapon that God has given you to transform your life. God wants to elevate your life and take you to another level. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you have made us not just conquerors, but more than conquerors through you. Not only, Jesus, did you win the most decisive battle in history, but on top of that victory, you armed us with weapons to be more than conquerors. Lord Jesus, today, for anyone who is weighed down with anxiety because of this COVID pandemic, for anyone who is anxious because they have lost their job, for anyone who is worried and feel like they are being pushed up against a wall, I pray that you would reveal to them today that they are more than conquerors through you who has loved us. And I pray that you would reveal to them today that you have left us with an inspired word that has been left here for our benefit. And you have given us all the offense we need. Lord, we love you. I pray that as we read this word, that our very lives would be transformed. In the matchless name of Jesus. Church, we love you. Thank you so much for joining in this week. We'll see you guys next week.